We were talking about a lower form of wisdom, which saw that Rob wasn't in control of his body of speech. And then we were discussing whether, what kind of mental afflictions that could remove, because it's not a real emptiness perception, right? It's a lower form of selflessness perception. So then the book says, the idea that the realization that you're not in control of your body, for example, that ultimately you won't be able to raise your arm, right? Or that you can't control your shirt. You know, I don't know that this won't be in Goodwill in Wilcox next week, because I died and they got rid of my shirt, you know? I kind of don't control it. So that removes certain negative emotions, you know? Like, I'm not so attached to my shirt. I know it's going to end up in Goodwill. Somewhere, or probably Ellie Pellet will steal it. I will probably take off the body or something. But anyway, so I don't get so attached. That helps me with certain kinds of mental afflictions, which are inspired by that wrong view. Got it? Of what? That I am in control. Okay? So like feelings of attachment for a shirt, which are not the viewpoint that I'm in control, but which are inspired by that viewpoint, right? So if I can overcome that viewpoint, which is not emptiness, right? I mean, I'm not understanding emptiness. I'm just understanding something about life. You're not really in control of your life. You know, you don't have the control you think you have. And as you get older, you get into situations where you realize that. If I can overcome that idea that I am in control, then the mental afflictions, specific mental afflictions which are engendered by that idea, right? Like desire for my t-shirt. I can, it helps me deal with those, right? That's what he's saying here. But it doesn't help me eliminate negativities that come from a deeper misunderstanding that everything is, I think things are coming from their own side. Got it? Okay, so a lesser understanding does deal with lesser problems, but it doesn't deal with larger problems. Okay? Like, a real emptiness understanding of my t-shirt would allow me to become an immortal deity who would always have my t-shirt. You see what I mean? With bigger stakes, with bigger worldview. Got it? Then he answers a question. Somebody says, how come my understanding that I'm not in control can't deal with like the fact that I can't get shirts when I want them? You know, why? You know, because it doesn't stand in direct contradiction to my ignorance, okay? My deeper ignorance, okay? The idea that I'm not in control doesn't stand in direct contradiction with my real ignorance about where the shirt came from. Got it? And we had it in Tantra yesterday. Do you remember? We had the same idea in Tantra. If you get really good at emptiness presentations in open teachings, sutra teachings, then you could just carry them over to Tantra. And we had two examples yesterday. What did he say about emptiness in Tantra and emptiness in the open teaching? Same. Same. You know, it's the key to both. If you understand emptiness in the open teachings, you can succeed in the open teachings. And then you can carry that same understanding to Tantra, and it will make you succeed in Tantra. Right? Then he said something else. He said, a certain mystical state of mind. He used the same language. Does not stand in direct contradiction with the way that you're ignorance holds things. What state of mind was he talking about? What was Master Yamchen Drupi Tenpo saying yesterday? The primordial state of mind. Okay? The inherent clear light. Oh, in the beginning. Okay? The deeper Mahamudra. Okay? Like he says, yeah, you have a Mahamudra in your mind. You have a clear light in your mind. You have an inborn clear light. It exists in all creatures, down to ants and germs, right? They have inborn clear light. But it, well, it does not stand in direct contradiction to their problem, to the root of their problems, which is holding things to come from their own side. Right? The shirt came from its own side. I bought the shirt. Someone gave me the shirt. Actually, I swiped it from her. It's from her mom or something. Stepmom. Okay, so that's what it means to not stand in direct contradiction. Now he's going to say something cool. All right, here we go. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Okay, we got a few. I don't know if you were scratching, Bert, or you were doing that. Okay, yeah. Alright. This is subtle. Does the idea that you are in control cause you certain mental negativities? Like attachment about your shirt, right? Does the deeper misunderstanding that you think you bought the shirt in the store, that the shirt came from the store, right? Does that lead to certain mental afflictions? Yeah. But the state of mind that understands that I'm not in control cannot remove all of my mental afflictions, right? Because that's not the perception of emptiness. It's not real emptiness. But does the idea that I'm not in control help me deal with mental afflictions that are actually engendered by my deeper misunderstanding? Question, right? We'll put it negatively, you know. Is it the case that the understanding that I'm not in control can never remove mental afflictions which have been triggered by my deeper misunderstanding? Think about that. I'll say it again. Is it the case that my idea, my understanding that I'm not in control can never remove mental afflictions that were triggered by my deeper misunderstanding? Yeah. He said, it doesn't remove all those mental afflictions, but it can help with certain mental afflictions that are engendered by a deeper misunderstanding. Got it? Okay? Got it? Just not. Okay. Alright. Now even though that's the case, okay. It's not true that if something is a mental affliction which was brought on by one's tendency to hold these as real, then it could never be eliminated by this wisdom. Okay? I would say that then this other wisdom, this other wisdom could never what's this other wisdom? Yeah, the understanding that I'm not in control. Okay? So can we say that that understanding is so wimpy it could never touch mental afflictions that are triggered by the deeper misunderstanding? That's not the case, okay? It can't remove them all, because if it could, then it's a path to nirvana. And it's not. But it can help with selected mental afflictions that are caused by a deeper misunderstanding. Got it? Chik, ni, sun. Kansa ram kya tu pe ze yu du zin pe to pa te ya ram yu den zin ki tsa wa chen yin pe. I ain't got it. Okay. Alright. At least we send you back to Tel Aviv or something. Okay. You can try some stuff. Alright. And that's because. Okay, got it? Now he goes a different, it's very cool. Why does the understanding that you're not in control also help to remove understandings that are engendered by that deeper misunderstanding? Eh?
All misunderstandings come from.
Yeah, because the misunderstanding where you think you're in control is born out of that deeper misunderstanding too. Got it? Okay? If you think things are coming from their own side, you start to think you're in control also. Because you think your body is outside of you and you're controlling it or something like that. Okay? So it makes sense that if you understood that you're not in control, since that misunderstanding is based in the deeper misunderstanding, then you might be able to overcome some mental afflictions caused by the deeper mental misunderstanding. Got it? Okay? Yeah. Yeah, when they say it's specifically substantial. And to think that things like Zeya are substantial has about 6 different meanings in scripture. Each school has a different idea about what it means. Like the Abhidharma has a really weird idea about what it means. But in this case, in this school, it's the Mahamudra where you think you're in control. Okay? We took it from there. But if you want to know the whole thing, Chamgyal Rinpoche Dorje, who's a former life of Abhongkhor Luche, wrote a Drukpa Chemo, the great book on the schools of philosophy, and in there he describes all the substantials. So that's an easy place to go in if you ever want to go there. Somebody tried to translate it. I think they didn't do a great job. It'd be a beautiful thing to translate. Oh, which reminds me of something. A couple of monks actually have asked me to teach them advanced pramana, perceptual theory, right, and logic. And then I kept saying I didn't have time. And I kept trying to send them to the monastery. And there's this one great book by Kheruje, extraordinary book by Kheruje, called the Deidu Nyiki Mensa, which is removing the darkness of the mind with regard to the 7 great books on logic by Dharmakirti. So when I was debating at Jebu in the winter debates, we used that book. I used that book. That was my secret weapon. And it helped me a lot. It's a huge treatise on advanced perceptual theory. How do you see things? Why do you see things? And I've always wanted to work on it, but I never had time. So I still don't have time. And I asked Lama Christie, and she said, "You don't have time." And I believe that. But what we started to do, I told Nyingbo, walk around with a tape recorder and the first few pages. And like if we're walking to the car or we're going to the house, we're carrying wood to the house or something, then I'll talk into the tape recorder. So we started, okay. But one of the conditions is it has to be made public. He has to put it up online and people have to be able to get it and read it. I mean, listen to it for fun. Okay, so he's agreed to do that. And there's Lobsang Nyima, Dr. Sykes. He would like to study that. So you have to make sure he knows about it. He asked me. Okay. Alright. Okay, here we go. And if you're interested, you can listen to that. Like, if you really want your brain fried, you can work on that. Okay. He doesn't know what he's getting into. It's like 20 years. Okay. I can never take him Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Shira ki na pa chen ki nyong ju te den zin ki ngu su chan pe kam o ma na dun pe tu se mun kyu ra pong mi nyu pa yin te. What is, when I say Shiraki Namba Chen, those of you who want to be the translator, something's got to happen in your mind right away. Shiraki Namba Chen. Yeah. What do you want to call it? I don't know. Progressive subtlety meditation. You know? Like, Move from a noisy part of, move from New York to Tucson, and things sound quieter. Go from Tucson to Bowie, and things sound quieter. Go from Bowie to the campground, and things sound quieter. You know, then go walk in the, then go walk in the BLM land, and things get really quiet, you know. And your mind will go through corresponding feelings of pleasure, you know? Like, for a while. That's in San Pancho, the land developers, they try to get you in the first week. Before you've adjusted to the new level of quiet. You think San Pancho is actually better than Tucson, you know? And in the first week, you want to buy a place there. And then your head catches up with you and it sounds just as noisy as Tucson. You know, and then you move to another, a more wild place, Yucatan, you know, and then it's the same thing. The mind will always catch up with you, because you're not changing the mind. You're just going to a quieter place. It's the same with changing partners, it's the same with changing food styles, it's the same with changing all sorts of things. You're not changing the mind, really. You just, things are getting more subtle, and you have this illusion that you're getting better. Take the person who went from Tucson to Bowie to the temple to the wilderness, right? Then put them back in Tucson. And within 3 days, they'll just be just as nervous and frenetic and angry as they were when they left Tucson, you see? Because they're not dealing with the problem. The environment is not going to help. Okay? It gets your mind quieter, then you can see some deeper things, and maybe that will help. It's a kind of a semi-method, okay? So Shiraki Namachen is done. Nyomjuk means samapati, right? Balance between dullness and thinking about dinner. Okay. Denzigi musu change. Kan omona duma duse. Duse means like a desire or a grasping, okay? Desire. Which dumba, which aspires, or which has a what do you call it? Craving for kan okma. Huh? Okma, not koma. Oh. Yeah, lower realms. Okay? Lower of the three realms, desire, form, and formless, right? He doesn't say which he's talking about. He just says lower ones. We don't know in Tibetan whether it was one or ones. You see, kam okma. I would read it as plural. Why? He's going to say, learning to meditate deeply, like on your breath, with no better object than that. Like Burmese meditation. I was taught that by a Burmese teacher, Goenkaji, my first meditation teacher. He taught us just watch your breath, and then that will help you deal with what? A desire towards the objects of what are below that level. You see? Like what? What's the dukkham? What's it defined by? Food and sex. The desire for food and sex. Okay? So if you're able to meditate a lot, just on your breath, your desire for food and sex will lessen. Right? You'll be able to overcome them temporarily. You know? Stop meditating, and then within a couple of weeks you're back to chocolate chip cookies and going to clubs. You know what I mean? Because it didn't change anything in the mind. It didn't really change anything in the mind. Okay? So that's people who've reached four-realm meditation no longer desire food or sex. People who've reached a formless meditation no longer have even a desire for any physical object. Smell, taste, sights, sounds, they've reached a formless state almost, you see? So you can say that they've been doing this Tucson to Bowie, Bowie to Diamond Mountain thing. The people who reached Diamond Mountain don't want Bowie anymore. The people who reach Bowie don't want Tucson anymore, got it? So if you get to Diamond Meditation, have you overcome a desire for a lower realm? Yeah, Bowie and Tucson. If you've reached Bowie realm meditation, have you overcome a desire for a lower realm? Yeah, Tucson, right? So either one of these could be called the lower realm here. Desire, form, formless realm. Okay? And there's this famous thing that you can get rid of desire for Tucson or Bowie temporarily. Rishik, say Rishik. Temporarily. Sometimes they say you can get rid of desire for Tucson and Bowie, the manifest desire. Right? Not the seed for the desire. Like, you won't have any manifestations of that desire. You won't get angry while you're out in the BLM camping because of traffic. But you've eliminated the manifestation of it. But what? The seeds are there. The seeds are there. Go back to Tucson. In 15 minutes, you're angry at somebody. Okay? Because you didn't remove the anger. You just removed the object temporarily. That's what monasteries are all about. That's what monasteries are all about. Remove people from the world for long enough that they can go deeper. You know? But if you take a monk who's removed from the world for a while but hasn't gained any real understandings, put them back in the world, they're back to desire right away. Same like that. So, question. If you go into this, like, breath meditation, can you overcome desire for the objects of the lower realms? You can either say temporarily or the manifest form. Okay? Like the real panting kind of form. Okay? Like that. Okay? But let's see what he says. If you get into deep meditation on your breath, can you overcome desire for food and sex? Manifest forms of desire for food and sex. Okay? Got it? But what if I modify that desire for food and sex? What if I say that desire for food and sex, which is directly triggered by a deep misunderstanding of reality? Then you have to say that breath meditation wouldn't be able to touch it. You see? Wouldn't be able to touch it. It's too strong. If that desire for food and sex has been immediately triggered by a deep misunderstanding of reality, then even breath meditation is not going to affect it. Got it? So what kind of what does breath meditation, what does it affect? Does it affect anything? Yeah. A manifest desire for food and sex, which is not brought on immediately by that deep misunderstanding. You have to say immediately, right? Why? All desires are brought on by that misunderstanding. Right? You, if you're in a debate ground and you don't put in here the musu, you're in big shit. You know? No, you're in big trouble. They'll wipe you. You know? Okay? They'll wipe you. You have to say musu. Not gine. What's gine? Indirectly, through a medium, through four or five steps, that mental affliction has been brought on by a deeper misunderstanding. Because all mental afflictions are brought on by a deeper misunderstanding, either directly or indirectly. Indirectly, I almost prefer to translate as through a series of steps, like that. Okay, got it? He's just pointing out that if your particular mental afflictions have a deeper misunderstanding in the immediate background, even breath meditation is not going to help you. Even with the manifest, easy forms of that desire. You'll go into three-year retreat and you'll spend the first year thinking about Starbucks, like I did. Okay. Oh, did I make a boo-boo? Subtle. So, yeah, you're right there. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. How do you know you're having a desire for food and sex which has been immediately triggered by a deeper misunderstanding of reality? Or you're having a desire for food and sex which has been triggered by an indirect misunderstanding of reality? You gotta meditate on it. Maybe they'll come in and bump you in the class or something. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Devam, Devam, Yahweh, Lo, Mari. Good, nice. We'll steal this from we'll steal this from here. That's how I can translate things, so many things in a day. What is the first it? Nyamjin Drupa Dorje wrote a grammar text. And one of the first things it says is, when you hit a day, like at the beginning of the sentence, you better know what it's talking about. Okay? What's the day referring to? It's talking about some kind of wimpy realization.
Is it the
Shirakinamajengi Nyamjin? A meditation which is just breathing meditation, just more subtle, Tusan Tabui meditation. Okay? That is not a state of mind which is in direct contradiction to the way in which the other state of mind holds that things exist. What state of mind would that be? I would say it's the desire which is directly brought on or immediately triggered by a deeper misunderstanding of reality. Got it? Okay? It's too wimpy to handle that kind of desire. Got it? Okay. Now we get into another question. If the breath meditation, which just depends on a relative subtlety of stuff, like the difference between buoy and tusan, if that's all it's got going for it, right? No understanding. Changing environment. If that's all it's got going for it. So we got one wimpy state of wisdom, really, or meditation, right? We had another wimpy state of wisdom. What was that? The understanding that I'm not in control. Okay. So are they equally wimpy? Which would you rather have if you were on a desert island and you could only have one? Would you rather watch your breath, or would you rather realize you're not in control? That's the question. Okay, this is what comes up next. Okay. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Nyong chu de da ye she de ni po nyong mong ki sa ben pong ni nyu ba sung kyang. Okay. Now it is true that that form of meditation and the type of wisdom we were speaking of above are equivalent to each other. You guys want to, some people want to come over here? You're welcome to stand up and walk through the class. I allow it. You know, if you want, there's lots of territory over here. Okay. And that's true that the four wisdom and the type of wisdom are speaking of to each other in that they are incapable of eliminating what? Yeah, the seed for the seeds of memory. Will the breath meditation remove your mental afflictions? Careful. Yeah, Elon's got it right. He like nodded. He's like a wise debater. He's like, sure. And then I might attack him, you know. So you're good to be an arhat if you like move from Tucson to Bowie, you know. Because it removes your meditation, your mental afflictions. So if you don't remove all your mental afflictions, you're not reach your mother? Excuse me? If you remove all your mental afflictions, you haven't reached your mind?
I thought you said if you don't.
I'm sorry, I meant to say. Isn't it the case that if you remove all your mental afflictions, you reach your mind? So if this meditation removes your mental afflictions, don't you remove your mind? I cheated, right? I left out all in the second sentence. That'll get you for a couple of minutes in the debate round. Okay. It does remove mental afflictions, but not all. And not very long. And definitely not non-manifest ones. Okay, and here we're talking about non-manifest ones. The seedful mental afflictions. Okay? So, the breath meditation, moving from Tucson to Bui, and the idea that I'm not in control of my arm, they are equal in one sense. What? They cannot remove the root of mental afflictions. Neither one can remove permanently the root of mental affliction. Got it? So in that sense, they're equal. But does that make them equal? That's the question. That's where he's coming from next. One, two, three. Lung gyewa owa la nyipa che chung ki kepa yurde. Okay? There is a Dhamma. A difference in the capacities, in the degree of their capacity to eliminate, manifest forms of meditation. Alright? Good? Moving from Tucson to Buddha has a certain ability, it has a certain power to help you remove very gross and obvious mental afflictions. You know, for a week you won't feel stressed. You might start to get bored, but you won't feel stressed, okay? But if you could learn to understand that you're not in control of your body and your mind, you'd be better able to remove gross forms of mental affliction. Neither one has the power to remove the seeds of mental affliction, right? But they have differing powers to deal with manifest mental affliction. Well, I'm not in control of that. Okay. Now he's gonna clarify that. Why? Say again?
He didn't say which one was more powerful or wider.
No, he didn't say, but he's about to. Desire realm, form realm, formless realm. Where are you when you see emptiness directly? Your mind is in the form realm. Your body is in the desire realm. Which one of the four levels of the form realm? First. Which one of the three subsections of the first level of the form realm? The first. Santen, Dambu, Nyerdo, Mijongde. Say Santen. Dambu. Nyerdo. Mijongde. It's like the very first taste of a state of mind which is defined by no longer wanting any of the gross physical attractions of the desire realm. Like, what's that mean in real terms in meditation? You are in complete, I mean, anyone in this realm would consider that person to be almost enlightened, you know? They can sit there and you can wave McDonald's french fries under their nose, and then they're totally unaware of them. Their concentration is so perfect. You can play a tuba, or you can run that daisy thing right under their window while they're meditating, and they won't hear anything. You know? Okay? They won't hear anything. Alright? And then if they go more subtle, they go up to formless realm. And then they don't have any attraction to any kind of physical object at all, period. Okay? The mind. In the mind. And then this formless realm has four levels within it. You know? And the highest one is called Sitse. Got it? When you get the Sitse, how is it defined?
You're beyond the lower
one. You've overcome desire for the three lower parts of the formless realm. Because you're at the top of the formless realm. And that's how it's defined. It's parallel to the idea that you reach the form realm when you don't care anymore about food and sex. Okay? You reach the top of the formless realm, we don't care about any of the other stuff. There's three more levels here, there's four or seven levels here, there's all these levels in the mind. You don't care about any of them. You're beyond all of them. Okay? In the Yoga Sutra, what is it called? Vitara Vichara Anandas Vitara. Vitara, say Vitara? Vichara, Anand, Asmita. First chapter, right? Yeah, so Asmita would be the Sitse, top of the formless realm. Like, you're beyond everything. You don't have desire anymore for any of those things. But what about your desire for that? Because there ain't no place else to go in a breath meditation. You're at Asmita. There's no place else to go. How are you going to deal with that desire? For what? For this totally perfect meditation. How are you going to deal with desire for that? Because you can't go more subtle. You can't get over it by going more subtle. You see what I mean? Okay, so we're going to talk about that. The wisdom mentioned does have the capacity to allow us to eliminate, for the time being, a manifest form of the wrong idea where we hold to the person as existing a self-standing and substantial way, where this misunderstanding is taken in by the level called peak of existence. You have to understand the idea of taken in by, okay? Take, say dupa.
Say dupa.
Say
dupa.
Very important in Abhidharma. Very important in Abhidharma. I think it's refreshment time. I need a cookie to demonstrate something. There will always be something I can demonstrate on a cookie. Because of the power of my desire. Okay. But let's say I have a cookie in my hand, okay? Wow. Okay. Did you do that?
Wow.
Okay. You have to eat the four corners first. You know? That's up to four corners. Right? Okay. And include the one. Tamze Toma. The fourth one. Ready? One, two, three. Okay. Is the cookie included into the desire realm? We call it Sedupa. That's the concept in Abhidharma. It's called Sedupa. It is taken in by that level, meaning the desire realm. Okay? If I'm in a deep meditation, I'm about to see emptiness directly. Is my mind de kamuki Sedupa? Is it included into the desire realm? No. That's the distinction, okay? Like parts of you can be Sedupa by a higher realm, and parts of you can be Sedupa by a lower realm. A cookie will never get into the formless realm. Formula, even the formula, okay? All right. If I do the buoy, the Tucson to buoy breath meditation, and I get more and more subtle, and I work my mind up to the highest level of the formless realm, right? By just breath meditation, by just subtlety, degrees of subtlety, right? If I get up to there, can that affect my ignorance that's in that level of reality? That say dupa by that level of reality. Can my calmness in the highest form of the formless realm, the highest level of the formless realm, deal with my misunderstandings that are in the highest? Cannot. Because subtlety meditation only works for Tucson from Bui, and only works for Bui from Banyan Mountain. You have to be at a higher level looking down and rejecting those things. Got it? And there is no higher level of meditation. Breath meditation. Got it? Just getting more and more calm in meditation cannot deal with the misunderstandings which are in your mind at that level of meditation. Got it? Got it? But can the idea that I'm not in control help with my misunderstandings at even a very high level of meditation? Yeah. So which would you rather have on a desert island? That's the answer to the question. That's the answer. I'd rather understand that I'm not in control than be subtly breathing. Because when the boat comes and everybody jumps off and there's all these Tahitian ladies in bikinis, I'm going to drop out of the meditation. You know? But if I've been doing an emptiness meditation on how I'm not in control, you know, then I'll probably have some self-control. Got it? Okay. Got it? The meditation cannot remove my misunderstanding at that high meditation level. Right? But my understanding that I'm not in control can. Got it? So we can say, he's using this as a dak yang dak, say dak yang dak. It means a goddamn good reason. For what? For what he just said. Let's go back and see what he just said. There is a degree of difference in their capacity to remove mental affliction. There's a difference between, if you got stuck on a desert island, you might want to know which one was better. Okay? Are they good? Sorry. Is one better than the other? We just proved it. Who said no? Is one better than the other? What's better than the other? You can get rid of more mental afflictions. Right? Are they good?
Say no.
Now you can say no. Okay? Is one better than the other? Yes. Are they good?
No.
Got it? Why? They can't get rid of the seed of mental affliction. Got it? That's where we are. When you get into one of these, I mean, I have a very close friend. He's a great, great, great Tibetan scholar. He's not a Galupa. He never had a chance to hear these from the feet of a qualified farmer, right? He says, those monastic textbooks, just bullshit. They're just sophistry, you know? They're just like blah, 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 you know? They don't mean anything, you know? Like, they're just talking, what do you call it? They're arguing about words. What do you call it? They're just dealing with semantics, you know? How would you answer that in this last piece? Yeah, you know what you need to go for, but what's such a common mistake in meditation in America? Just get calm. You know, take your breath deeper and deeper. You know? She has a third eye. It can rotate around the stomach, like sometimes in the back of the head, but sometimes right over the ear. And she can see if I'm taking an extra cookie. Okay. Yeah, that's probably the biggest problem in meditation in America. Well, the biggest problem in meditation in America is what? People don't do it. But the second biggest problem is, you know, they go to a yoga studio and they say, watch your breath, and everyone gets calm, you know. And then they leave and they go outside and get mad in traffic, you know, because it didn't change anything, right? So you could say, this is not just, what do you call it, semantics? They're not just talking semantics, it's a very serious question. You know, would you rather have an ounce of understanding or an ounce of breath meditation? You know? Is that to say that breath meditation is bad? No, I do it every day. I do it for like half an hour every day. I still do it every day, ever since Goenkaji, you know, 1973. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Ni ba ju kem pe lu su tem pa la. Nimbo's going to translate the whole thing. I'll give you a clue. Chinjuk is avatara, and it's short for something else. Yeah. Bodhisattva Charavatara. Nipa means we're reaching a whole big section, section 2. Huge section of the book. Be careful with Denyi, okay? Be careful with Denyi. I had a case recently. Denyi doesn't always mean tattva. It doesn't always mean suchness. It doesn't always mean emptiness. Sometimes it means the thing we was just talking about. That same thing we was just talking about. What do you think it means here? Huh? Yeah. And he wants to then that is the Luke. He wants to show that it's the system of Chinju Kenpo. What's a Kenpo? Chuki Vinaya Master. What's a Kenpo? Yeah, Kenpo nowadays means abbot, right? But in the Vinaya times, it meant your vow master. And why did it slur over into abbot?
Because they became
In the modern Gelugpa monastery, all the vows are given, all the monks are ordained by the abbot. So if you had the same abbot Jampa Dunya for 12 years, how many Jampas are you going to have in the monastery? Like 400. And that's what happened in Saramaya. Jampa Lumik is one of that generation. Okay, there's like 90 other Jampas running around the monastery. Like, it got so bad in the monastery, like, Jampa number 47? No, 83. So sometimes Master Shantideva is referred in scripture as Chindu Kempo, the master of entering the Bodhisattva's great life, the master of the entry to the life, the master of entering the life. Okay. This brings us to our second major session, a demonstration that this same position represents the system of Master Shantideva. I'll just say Shantideva, right? Because we're going to call him Master. The master of the guide. Okay? Guide to what? Okay. Now you can do something that most people don't grasp, okay? But Master Shantideva wrote this very sweet, heartwarming guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life, and it's so general that His Holiness can even teach it in Tucson twice, right? Two chapters from it. But what you have to also understand is that his chapter on emptiness is one of the greatest presentations of emptiness ever written. It ain't no heartwarming, wimpy thing. You know, it's a real debate master, like shredding the opponents on the question of emptiness. You know, and he gives no quarter. You know, he's merciless and he's pure. You know, so, you know, there are whole monasteries that only study the ninth chapter of the Bodhicharitta. Okay? Alright. One, two, three. Okay, but I want to do one exercise here. Since you're working on the laptop, right? Since you're working on a computer, you can easily go back and see what was Dumbo. Yeah, like how far back was number one start? And what was number one? And that'll help you translate number two much more responsibly. So don't be lazy, go back and find it. Okay? Now if you go back and look for all the Dumbos, you're gonna hit like 90 of them. Okay? But fortunately he's giving you the name of the category, which is Dengi Chunju Kemba Loksu Tema. So if we just go back and look for a Chunju, for example, Bodhicharya Avatara, we're gonna hit it. And then we'll see what Dumbo is, and we'll see what they were categories on. And that will help us translate it more responsibly. So we go back to the beginning of the file. We look for Chunju. He's quoting Chunju, that's not what we want. Ah, okay. We're back on page 260, alright? We will show how this sutra talks about. Then we will set forth scriptural references, and finally we will overcome our opponents. He's talking about how non-bodhisattvas can see emptiness directly. Okay? You don't have to be a bodhisattva to see emptiness directly. Okay? And he's going to show how that was the position of two different people. A, the person who wrote the commentary, and B, of Master Shantideva. Who was the person who wrote the commentary? Chandrakirti, Master Chandrakirti. On whom?
On
Aryanagarjuna. Okay, got it? So the position I'm trying to present, which is that you don't need ultimate love to see emptiness directly, was the position of two great masters. Chandrakirti, as he was commenting on Aryanagarjuna, and Master Chandrakirti. He's done with the first category. He's moving on to the second one now. Got it? Alright, here we go. We go back to Chandrakirti. See, I wouldn't have been able to say that phrase if I hadn't looked back. Okay? And so it is certainly the case that the glorious Chandrakirti that you must perceive. That things have no qualities of their own if you hope to attain liberation or nirvana. Okay? Did he say that? Is that what he sold it to us as? Thank you. What was category number one? What were they saying? They were saying that people on lower tracks can also see emptiness directly. Now they switch. What do they call it? Bait and switch. What do they call it in syllogism? You've changed your terms. Solipsism? You've changed your terms. You said you were going to prove that lower tracks could see emptiness directly. Now you're saying if you want to reach nirvana, you have to see emptiness directly. But what's the bridge that you could use to get between those two ideas? Yeah, everyone accepts there are lower arhats. How did they get there? How did they get rid of their mental afflictions? Everyone accepts that people without ultimate love can still get rid of all their mental afflictions. Okay, how did they do it? Oh, they saw emptiness. Okay, got it. So it's not a crazy. He's not like crazy. I'm gonna stick this up here. But it is as well the true thought of Gyatso Shiva. Yeah. What's Gyatso mean? That's her name, okay? Of the great Bodhisattva. So you don't always have to say master. If he says the great or the glorious, then that's good enough, okay? To keep your attention power, okay? Really? Okay. You notice how he never does anything else? He never calls him Chandrakirti or something like that. He said what? Glorious Chandrakirti. Between who?
Case and it at the top. First one.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Thank you. Okay. One, two, three. Te ta to gurpa chun ju le gyalen ki gone ten la pape. And that's true. Because we need to have this sort of realization is set forth in the guide, right? Thank you. in the guide in the form of a gel means like tsupa. What's that? Yeah, debate. It's a different word for tsupa. A criticism and a response. What's that mean? Somebody in the Bodhicharmatara raises an objection. There'd be an objection right here. An objection right here. Okay, and a response. So what can we anticipate is coming up? As a translator, you're not always just translating cold words. You are anticipating what they're going to say, and that helps you squeeze it out of the text. And if you don't do that, it's difficult to translate. You have to anticipate what he's going to say. What's probably going to happen next? Yeah, someone, he's going to show the, he's going to repeat the objection, and then he's going to repeat the response. Most likely. But have that in mind as you translate. Where should this argument go next? And then you can find it in the words. Okay? Alright. One, two, three. Tenla patsu jita ushina de la tsepa dam leni le. Just how does the guy say what? To answer this, we can answer this in two steps. A presentation of the original argument, and then the response. Okay, got it? So first we're going to hear somebody attacking whom? Master Shantideva. We get to hear Master Shantideva's enemies talking. Then we get to see him wipe them out. Okay. One, two, three. Tambola kachi ki toa nyamde topa la tong yi to mi gapa. Who's speaking, the enemy or Master Shantideva? The opponent or Master Shantideva? The opponent is speaking. So would he be saying, you do too have to see emptiness to get to Nirvana? Or would he be saying, are you telling me you have to see emptiness to get to Nirvana? Or would, let's put it in a negative way, would he be saying, it is so not true that you don't have to see, that you have to see emptiness to get to Nirvana, okay? Or is he saying, are you telling me it's not the case that you have to see emptiness to get to Nirvana? Which one of those would he say? The first one, right? He wouldn't say, oh, Master Shantideva, are you crazy? You're telling me you don't have to see emptiness to get to Nirvana? Or would he be saying, come on, everybody knows you don't have to see emptiness to get to Nirvana? Which of those two would he be saying? The second one. He'd be like, Master Shantideva, are you kidding? Of course you don't have to see emptiness to get to Nirvana. Right? That would be the opponent's, what the opponent would be expected to say. Got it? You wouldn't expect the opponent to say, come on, Master Shantideva, are you telling me you don't have to see emptiness to get to Nirvana? Would he say that? No, because he doesn't believe it. Right? So which way does the tell go? Now you know. Is he saying, it is so true that you don't have to see emptiness to see Nirvana? Or is he saying, are you telling me it's not true that you have to see emptiness to see Nirvana? He's the first one. It is not the case that you don't have to see emptiness to get to nirvana. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, come on, Master Shantideva, are you saying you don't have to see emptiness to get to nirvana? Because he wouldn't say that. Because he believes that. He wouldn't be sarcastic and say what he believes, right? So, does he go up or down? Up. Up. In Tibetan, he goes up. Let's do it together. Dambola kachiki towa namde topala tongi to migeba ta. Got it? Of course it's true you don't have to see emptiness to see nirvana, to get to nirvana. What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? Got it? Okay. It is so the case. Oh, for the first of these, the opponent comes and says, it is so the case that you don't have to perceive emptiness to reach nirvana, to reach liberation from nirvana. Okay? Let's read this one together. One, two, three. Dong ni to pa la ma de pa cho wa nyang de to nyu ve chi se wa yin de. We have to catch the se wa, which means, in this context, to claim, which is a mainga. What's a mainga? Mayengar says you say one thing and you mean something else, right? We were talking about a Mayengar in the tantric class yesterday. They had a long list of why certain kinds of people and beings couldn't achieve Buddhahood in one life. They had a long list. Cannot practice the stage of completion. And they had a long list. For example, one which is not secret, maybe. Yeah, I don't think so. The six elements. Right? They said, such and such beings in such realms can't achieve tantric Buddhahood in one life, because they don't have the six elements in their body. That's a mayinga. Mayinga means, that tells you something positive. Saying that negative thing tells you something positive, which is what? Yeah, you do have to have the six elements, and we do have them. Okay? Like, all those other people can't achieve Buddhahood in one life because they don't have the six elements in their body. Which is to say, we do. And we can. Okay? What's the Mayengar here? I forget what I was going to say. Okay.
Necessarily wrong.
Oh, right. You're right. Okay. So, comes and... Oh, yeah. The word Sarah is my God. Why? When you say, you know, Michael Brandon claims this, what are you saying?
It's wrong.
It's wrong. Right? Okay. All right. Be careful, because Sarah can also mean they state. You have to know that it's wrong. Okay? The government comes and claims. Okay. And that's true, they continue, because it is possible to attain nirvana or liberation without relying on a perception of emptiness. Okay? He just changed it, relying. And that's legal. Okay? It's a good question, though. It's a good question. One, two, three. Chu chu le. Den ba tong wei tu ge ki. Dong ni tong wei ji xi cha. She su be chi. Okay. When a gi comes at the end of a sentence, it's the 1% of the cases where it doesn't mean by and it means rather or but. Okay? Yeah. Okay? So, and that's true because the guide has those lines that say, We reach liberation by seeing the truth. So what use is it to see emptiness? Okay? That's what it says. Do you think he might have, like, taken something out of context? But for him, it's a very powerful argument. He's like saying, oh, you're telling me that Master Shantideva said you had to see emptiness to get nirvana, right? And we say, yeah, we say that. It's just, it's not true that you have to see emptiness to get nirvana, because you don't have to see emptiness to get nirvana. That was your didn't like his. Okay. And then we say, teacher, you know why? He says, well, I mean, Master Shantideva did say, we reach liberation by seeing the truth, so what use is it to see emptiness? He did say that. I mean, that's in his book. Okay. I don't personally remember, but what's a possibility that this is a statement of?
Because it's there, it's the
kachin. It's the kachin? From Master Shantideva. Okay. Okay, I mean, it's very possible that I think the other guy was saying this. Okay, I'm not sure. Or else he meant something else. You know, okay? Should I take the trouble to go see? And we only have like 15 minutes, so maybe not. Left in the term. Alright, so. I blew it, okay? I blew it. Hang on. I missed this last little yinte here. The first of these is expressed where now the argument changed. Got it? What was the first category he promised us? The argument. So we say there was an argument in the Bodhicharyamatara because somebody came and said, you don't have to see emptiness to get to nirvana. And then we say, no, there was no such argument made in the Bodhicharyamatara. He says, yes, there was, where the guy said, we reach liberation by seeing the truth. And what is to see emptiness? Okay? So I misstated the argument. I misunderstood it. Okay? He's not proving. The Shenluk, the Kachik, is not using this to prove anything. We're using it to prove that there was such a Kachik. Got it? I'll say it again. We promised two things from the Bodhicharyamatara. What were they? Number one, we're going to hear an objection. Number two, we're going to get the response to it. Somebody says, I deny that there was an objection made about this subject in the Bodhicharyamatara. That's the debate. Then we say, there was such an objection made because somebody got up and said, you don't have to see emptiness to get to nirvana. And he says, Tagadu, I disagree. And then we quote the kachi from the Bodhicharyamatara. That's all. That's all the proof is. He didn't do anything sneaky. Okay? We're just proving that there was an argument. Okay? By quoting this verse. Got it? Now, as a translator, what are we expecting? What's coming next? The response. Okay. Which is really what we're interested in. Okay. And we have about 15 more minutes. I think we can get a good, we'll get to a good place in it. 1, 2, 3.
Shen na tong ni to pa la ma de pa cho wa yang de to mi ne pa.
Let's translate it up to that point and then you tell me if it's a tell or not. A tell or a tell? It's good that you're struggling with this because then you'll be able to translate it properly. If you didn't know there was a problem, you would just run over it like a bulldozer and it would be wrong. Okay, so here we go. Moreover, it is the case that it's impossible to achieve nirvana, liberation, without relying on the perception of emptiness. Down or up? Yeah, up. In Tibetan, up. Because who's talking? We are. It is the case. In English, we do it with that emphasis of the verb. It is the case that you have to see emptiness too. Or you can't see, you can't reach the bottom without seeing emptiness. Okay? Got it? It is the case. So Tibetan, you go up. Let's go together.
Shen yang dong ni do pa la ma de pa zhe wa nyang de to mi ni ba ta.
Okay, good. Moreover, it is so the case that you can't attain liberation on your body. By the way, here they are synonyms. I don't know why he's repeating it. There must be some reason. Like maybe Master Shantideva is going to use Jova later on. Okay? But Tarpa, say Tarpa.
Tarpa.
Jova.
Jova.
Nyangde.
Nyangde.
Dinchik. Synonyms. Okay, moksha, I don't know the other word. Liberation, freedom, liberation, and nirvana are the same thing. Sometimes, jhova can also mean Buddhahood, so be careful. Tarpa never means Buddhahood. Okay? And nyangde could. Alright, well, it's still here, you know, or nirvana, without relying on a perception of emptiness. Why? One. Oh, a hatch, ten, kamesh. Tedar de ba lunki ne. Ripe kyan ne pe. Shalosh. Sorry, kamesh is fine, right? Yeah, it's the same in Arabic. But anyway, okay. Little given when you live again, maybe it's your Jampa. Lumrik has appeared. What's Lumrik mean? He's the great monk at the temple in New Jersey. His name means scriptural authority and logic. So two ways to prove something to another Buddhist. You know, you can use either scriptural authority. Or you can use logic. Like, I was very weak in the scriptural authority because I hadn't memorized all the texts up to my 17th year. You know, they had it on me on scriptural authority in the debates. I had to use logic, right? But it's interesting. If a person from Saramea goes to the winter debates, their lungi rikpa changes. Why? They don't accept this scripture as lungi drupche. As scriptural authority. Why? Especially they ain't gonna accept it as Sarajaya. Why? It was written by the student from Saramea who contradicts his teacher from Sarajaya. Okay? So you can't say because Kirtan Vidargi says so. Okay? Which is why when you do the winter debates you use Gyaltsa Jay's text on logic. Which if you finish Daidun Yuki Munso, you can have Gyaltsa Jay for dessert, and that will take 30 years. Okay? That will take 30 years. Much more difficult. Infinitely more difficult. Okay? So at the winter debates, you have to use Tsongkhapa, or his two disciples, in a Gelugpa monastery. But what if the Sakyas come? you gotta stick to Kamya Tengye. Or their own texts. One year the Bumbos came. They refused to say Chechen. You know, which means what? Take the paper. Paper Chechen. Take the paper. They refuse to say Chechen. Why? It includes the word Dharma. They say paper Bunchen. You know? So what do you use for scriptural authority on a Bumbo? You know? Then we went on Rigpa. You see, then you switch over to Rigpa. Why is this relevant to you? When you meet your mother-in-law at Thanksgiving dinner, and you need, and they ask you about some Buddhist concept, what are you not going to do? You're not going to use scriptural authority because there is no common scriptural authority. There is no common scriptural authority unless you use their own scriptures. Yeah, and that's why you have to know the Bible and things like that, you know? Okay? But more probably you'd want to go to Rigpa. And what is the foundation of logic in a debate? What is the foundational principle of logic in a debate? You only use ideas which they accept already. You are not allowed to introduce a new idea. You must, as your tools, and as your material, as your gunpowder, you can only use things which they already heartily agree to. You are just rearranging them into a new, you know, you say, do you believe this? Yeah. Do you believe that? Yeah. Well, you know, if you believe that, you have to believe this. Wow. You know, you're really, so arguments with your spouse or your partner, where does it break down? You pass beyond what they have said. It breaks down, the argument goes from 1 to 5 a.m. all on the basis of, at 1 a.m. you said one thing wrong. You said, you used an argument that they do not accept already. And then the whole other 4 hours was useless. Okay? Alright? But we still do it. Okay. As you know, if you had the pleasure. Okay. So, and that's true because the belief expressed above is, this is a difficult word, do you know N?
No. It's a disparate word.
Yeah. Say, Sheng. I gotta think of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shenu. Shidam. Chebale. Dopa. Okay? That's Jezakapa's definition of Pratimoksha. Shenu. Shidam. Shenu Shidam. Chebale. Dopa. Sosatarbe. That's his description of Pratimoksha. Shenu. Hurting other beings. Hurting other beings. Dang, Shi. It's foundation. The foundation. Pratimoksha is all about verbal, avoiding verbal and physical harm to other beings. Ahimsa, right? That's Pratimoksha. But Tsongkhapa sneaks in Shi.
The basis, which is your thoughts.
Yeah, the thoughts behind those actions and words. So everyone goes around saying, Pratimoksha only deals with what you say and what you do. But he says, no, Shidan Che. They don't. You must turn back from harm to others and the foundation of that harm, which is hating them or being angry at them. Okay? Like that. Okay? But that's a classic use of the word N, which means what? No. To hurt. But in logic, no is used in a different way. What is it? My logic, my argument is going to no your statement. How do you want to translate that? Disprove, maybe, I think. Yeah. And that's true because that the belief expressed above is disproved. Can be above. Too complicated. Can be disproved both by scriptural authority and by love. Okay? And we have a few minutes. We'll do some of the lungi nirgun, okay? One, two, three.
Lung hi le ba yin de, yung ki do le, wu bu du she chen la, tar pa me pa sun me.
Done. He split his reason, right? It's a split reason. And that's true. Oh, I'm sorry. The belief is disproved by scriptural authority. First, because the Mother Sutras state that freedom is impossible for those who still see things. Okay? Which is a little bit doshi. If you're taking the Diamond Cutter course from Venerable Jigme, they're on this subject right now. It could even be a reference to the Diamond Cutter. Okay? Like, they think of things as things. It's called Mupu Dushe. Say Mupu? Dushe. Mupo is bhava in Sanskrit. It can mean either a functional thing or thing in general. And you just have to tell from the context. Okay. Is a thing not a thing? It is a thing, right? But it's not a thing from its own side or the way you think it is, right? You thought it was bought in a store. Okay. You think paper is a God-given right of Americans. No, you believe that. You believe you will always have paper. Not the case. This is coming from your karma. This is coming from your virtue. It's a heavy virtue to have good paper in a country. No, you cannot express ideas. You can't mean, you can't. This is a very serious, heavy, good karma. And it can end anytime. Because it's driven by karma, in a year you could have no paper. You could have no hand to hold the paper. You don't have any rights with karma. You have old seeds and they can go off any time and do really weird, screwy things that you don't deserve right now. Okay? That's part of no control. Okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Tu sun ki gin tu shukpa ne Rang san ge ki par na Shir chin di la fe ne Rang rang ki chang shu Tau ge par sun ne shi da. I like to say past, present, and future because it's more common English than of the three times. Look at the New York Times. Google of the three times. You won't get anything. You know? Make it common English. You know, strive to make it understandable by normal people. That's your goal as a translator. Okay? All those beings and past, present, future have or ever will achieve the goals from entering the stream, right, which is the lowest of the goals of some. Just seeing emptiness directly, right? Up to the state of a self-made Buddha, can only do so by relying upon this perfection wisdom to achieve their individual enlightenment. I thought there was only one enlightenment. Changchub Thobna Sangye Yinme Kya Wei Chen. Changchub Thobna Sangye Yinme Kya Wei Chen. If you've achieved Changchub, are you a Sangye? Kya Ma Chen. You see? There's lower Changchubs. Okay? There are lower Changchubs. Lower arhats, their arhatship is called Changchub in some schools. Got it? It's never called Sangye except when you say Rang Sangye. Okay? Sangye and Sangye and Kyabe Echa. Tamaka. Changju and Sangye and Kyabe Echa. Tamaka. Okay? Sangye and Changju and Kyabe Echa. Yin. Kyab. Okay, got it? Alright. But what did he just prove? What does this specifically say?
You can only get the benefits of seeing after this directly by seeing after this directly.
Come on.
That's right, the street.
Huh. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about Buddhas reaching Buddhahood? No, he stopped at self-made Buddhas on a lower chart. He stopped at lower arhats. Right? What did he say about everybody from any kind of Arya up to a lower arhat? What did he say about them? They can't get to where they got to unless they see emptiness. Essentially. Got it? Got it? He's using it to prove that. He's using it to prove that. Because what did the other guy say? You don't need to see emptiness to achieve Buddhahood. Did he say that? No, he said Nirvana. Got it? Nirvana. Why is this relevant to George Mo on the street? Who could care less about enlightened beings?
They want to be happy.
They want to be happy.
Do they need to see emptiness?
Yeah. Do you have to see emptiness directly to get over jealousy or anger or uncontrollable desire for Dunkin' Donuts? Which plagues two-thirds of Americans. No, it does. They suffer heavily in this country from all the problems that come from not being able to control their desire for food, right? So someone comes to you, I can't control my desire for food. I get angry. I'm jealous. I see weird things that aren't even there, you know, because I'm so jealous, you know. What can I do? Then what are you going to say? See emptiness. Think about emptiness. And then you're going to make this huge, you know, beautiful leap to a daily practice of emptiness. How does it relate to Dunkin' Donuts? Now, you're not going to sit down and quote Shantideva to them. You're going to talk about the last maple-covered donut. Really? Really? Okay? Really? You're going to say, how do you think you get donuts? You have to share them. You know? And then you go off on the emptiness of donuts. That is the emptiness. That's actually the dependent origination of donuts. You have to share them to get them. What's the emptiness of donuts? If you don't share them, you can't get them. So maybe you don't want to eat so many. If you like donuts, maybe you want to give some of them away and not eat the whole box. And then now, lose weight and they'll be happier. No, and then that's emptiness. You don't have to go off on some Tibetan scripture. You know, you never have to tell them where it came from. Right? You just want to make people happy with these ideas. This whole idea that maybe eventually we could wipe out all references to Buddhism or Buddhas or Sanskrit or Tibetan and it could just be part of a way of life. You see, it's beautiful. You have to think like that as a translator. We're not just doing this course to translate some Tibetan text. The course has no benefit unless you take it on to people who have real problems and you can help them in some way by understanding emptiness. Right? The emptiness of a donut. Right? If you make that leap, you are a pundit. You know, you are a sage. You know, just quote Tibetan to somebody, to your family, you know, it's not going to work. But if you can show them how to get more donuts, you know, really, the real source of donuts. I'm going to write a classical commentary. The real source of donuts. Okay. But what happens, by the way, if you start sharing donuts is that you don't want to overeat them anymore. And then you become happier, right? And then that's the goal of what we're doing in Translator Class. Okay, that's my pitch. Bring it to the people. Get your head stuffed full of Chandrakirti and Shantideva. And then what comes out of your mouth should be Joshmo. Alright? That's a real yogi. Kusali kusulu. Right? A virtuous one who is anonymous. An anonymous virtuous one. Okay, here we go.
Sashi Murari.
Thanks.